Ladies and gentlemen, this is the 12th and final round.
Right hand, Golovkin steps in and down he goes again. Unbelievable! Mayweather makes him pay. What a rookie mistake. A sensational left hook by De La Hoya.
It's facts. I'm the best. You know what I mean? Sometimes I don't want to believe in myself, but it's the truth. I'm the best.
I'm going to show you how great I am.
From Southern California, this is the Last Round Podcast.
And we're back, episode 28 of TLR, the last round. And we just got shirts in. They just came in, right?
Whoop, whoop.
We just got the first shipment of our shirts, the merchandise for the last round, which I think are already on social media, right? You put them out there
for
people to
see. Yeah, I put
them out. So if you want to check out the designs, you can follow us at The Last Round 12 on social media and check them out. We'll be sporting them and we'll be promoting them a little bit more. And you guys let us know what you think out there. But once again, I'm Danny Z, Michael Shepherd across from me. Last week, we didn't have a busy week of fights.
But rested.
It was a rested. It was a rested week. But this week, it's like double or nothing. We're packed this week, at least in the next week or so, week and a half maybe. But before we jump into the upcoming fights, the previews, reviews, and all that stuff. We have another guest this week. Who do we got, Mike? Who's on the line right now?
This week, we have the current NABF junior super lightweight holder, Arnold Barboza, who's currently 20-0. He's fighting on the Lomachenko, Anthony Crawler undercard against Mile High Mike Alvarado.
How's it going, Arnold? Thank you very much. We appreciate you calling in and calling in ahead of your fight. Against Arnold, actually, I was going to say Arnold, but he's on the line.
He's fighting himself.
but against a rugged Mike Alvarado, a veteran. But, you know, just starting off, Arnold, how's training going? How's camp been going? How's the weight cut? Tell us what's going on.
You know what? Camp has really been, it's really been really, really good. You know, we actually just got back down from Big Bear. We were up there for training camp for a few weeks, you know. You know, it really helped me a lot. The weight is actually really good. Really got like throughout 3 pounds to go, if that. You know, so I really try to take care of my body in the off season. That way, you know, when it comes time to fight, you know, I'm not really struggling too much on the weight. But camp's been great, man. Camp's been great, and we're really ready to go.
Do you always train in Big Bear, usually?
No, this is actually my first time going up there.
Oh, wow.
You know, I really wanted to do something different. You know, I mean, the camp was the same, but just the altitude and the running and the conditioning was just, I feel like for this fight had to be way more up there, you know. So we went up there. I want to thank, you know, Abel Sanchez and his team for greeting us with open arms. And it was a great experience. You know, I learned a lot up there.
Is it very, because like you mentioned, the high altitude, which is why obviously a lot of boxers over the last several years have went up there to train. Being that was your first time up there, experiencing that altitude, doing, you know, your training methods or everything, was it surprising? Did your body take a little bit longer to adapt? That, you know, did you have any problems that you had to overcome? Anything like that?
Well, down here, you know, I run a lot of hills and a lot of stuff like that. So when we got up there, I mean, of course, it was, you know. A little different, you know, the air was a little harder to breathe up there, you know, because of, you know, the altitude and all that. But we adjusted quick, you know, we adjusted in a matter of a week, if that, a few days. And we really, you know, really got some great work in, some great sparring up there. We got some great, great conditioning for this fight.
For people who don't know, Arnold, you're actually trained by your father, Arnold Sr. How is that? Do you butt heads at times? And
you know what? No, we never bump heads. You know, it's crazy. You know, me and my father, you know, he's been training me since I was 5.5 years old. So, I mean, he, you know, in the gym, it's all strictly business. You know, it's strictly boxing, strictly, you know, trainer and you know, and me. And outside the gym, it's father, you know, he's my father, you know. But in the gym, you know, we joke a lot. I mean, that's really the only time you really see my dad smile sometimes is in the gym. You know, it's a great atmosphere, you know, the great fighters that we train with. I mean, we've never really bumped heads at all, you know, and I'm glad he's my trainer, and I wouldn't trade my team for anything.
He used to be a professional kickboxer, is that right?
Yeah. He was actually, he was a professional kickboxer. He was 13-0. He was actually pretty good. We actually used to fight on the same cards. You know, I used to fight on these smoker fights because I was too young to fight USA Boxing. So I used to fight on the same cards as him. Sometimes he'd be the main event and I'd be the opening, you know, to get the show started, you know. So, but yeah, you know, he you know, quit his career to train me and to focus on me. You know, I guess he's seen something and just went from there.
How many fights did he have before he decided to essentially retire and focus on you?
He actually had 13. He had 13 wins. He was actually undefeated. He was 13-0. He had 13, and I had about 25 smoker fights before I went to USA. So I mean, my father, every time he came, he was really just boxing. I mean, he used his legs, of course, because he's a soccer player his whole life. But he's a diehard. He's all around boxing.
I was looking up, obviously, before you, when you agreed to do the interview, and I saw that you actually gave up a union job to take on boxing full time.
That's crazy.
Yeah. I was actually working, you know, my first 7 professional fights. I was working a night shift job, for the union, for the Teamsters. And I was working from 7 at night. Was supposed to get off at 5:30 in the morning, but a lot of times you couldn't leave till your work was done. So I had to get out around 8, sometimes 8:30. The latest I've gotten out a few times was like 11:30 the next day. Damn. And, I was still getting out. I mean, I felt like a zombie, you know, like no sleep. I still go run, get my run in, go home, eat some breakfast, shower, sleep, wake up and train. And then right after training, go straight home, shower again, and go straight to work. So it was a rough, you know, I did that for about 5 years. For my first 7 fights, and it was a rough time for me. You know, a lot of questions, a lot of you know, if I didn't know if I was still gonna box at the time. You know, I didn't want to because I felt like, you know, a lot of fighters and you know are not, you know, they're just focusing on training. In my eyes, they're like, okay, a boxer's supposed to focus on boxing. That's a job. I had 2 jobs, and it was real hard. You know, and I'm glad that, you know, once Top Rank came around, everything changed. So we decided, you know, once Top Rank came around, they signed me, they seen me, they signed me, and we just decided to go all in. My father told me, you pick, it's either work or boxing, and I just picked boxing. I've been doing this for too long not to take a chance.
Were you approached by, before you decided on Top Rank, were you approached by any other promoters in terms of trying to recruit you, or, you know, were you soliciting any other offers?
Well, originally, my first 3 professional fights came under the promoter of Gary Shaw. Mm-hmm. So they initially wanted to sign me, but you know, we decided to hold off a little bit to see, you know, what else we can get. And for a whole year and a half, I had no offers. You know, I had no one looking at me, no one even giving me a chance. And it was real fun. It was frustrating. You know, it was frustrating at the time. I was like, man, like, what am I really doing here? You know, and I'm actually. It's a funny story because that whole time we were off, I had 3 fights. Mike Alvarado was fighting Marquez at the time at the Forum, and I actually helped Alvarado to fight Marquez. You know, not a lot of people.
You were a sparring partner, right?
Yeah, I was a sparring partner and helped him for a few sparring sessions. And, you know, I feel, you know, because of that is kind of the reason I got into Top Rank, because I went to the fights at the Forum against Marquez, and that's when I met, you know, matchmaker Brad Goodman, and we talked, and it was all up from there.
Are you going to use anything from those sparring? Because that must have been, what, 4 or 5 years ago you sparred Alvarado?
Yeah, you know what? It was a while back, a few years ago. I'm not really dependent on anything on those sports. There's the sparring sessions, you know, it's sparring, you know, sometimes you have good days, sometimes you have bad days. We're not even looking at that, you know, we're looking at for the best Mike Alvarado. So those sparring sessions are long gone. To tell you the truth, I really don't even remember them. So we're just focusing on the game plan that my father has put, and now we're ready to go.
So is there any fight in particular throughout his career? Because obviously he's been in some, you know, pretty big wars, you know, Brandon Rios, Marquez and stuff like that. Is there any one of them that like sticks out in your mind? Because obviously, you know, like as I mentioned at the beginning, he's a veteran. He's been around the game for quite a while. You know, and obviously there's, you know, everybody always has something left in the tank. Is there one fight that kind of sticks out in your mind that you really impressed you about him, or you know, whether it was like the Rios fight or anything like that?
Well, it was actually, you know, to be honest, I became you know, and Mike Alvarado, sort of, you know, I was kind of sort of a fan of his when he fought. My father took me to the StubHub to see him when he fought Rios the first time. And I didn't even know who Mike was. My dad goes, "Oh, watch, this is gonna be a good fight," you know. And I keep in mind, I'm only 3-0. You know, I don't even know if I was actually debuted yet. I'm not sure.
Right.
But I seen that fight and I was like, man, you know, I thought it would stop prematurely, but I was like, man, that fight stood out to me. And then also when he fought Marquez, I mean, keep in mind that Mike wasn't even 100% in a lot of these fights, and look what he accomplished, you know. So now, you know, I heard his head's on straight and he's been training really hard, and, you know, I'm happy for him and his family. And I'm happy because, you know, I'm getting the best Mike Alvarado, I feel like, that's probably stepped into the ring in a while. So I'm excited. My team's excited and we're ready.
Was there any other potential opponents out there that you know, were offered to you, or were any fights that you guys were trying to make before the Alvarado fight was made for this weekend?
Not really. They, you know, after my last fight, you know, we talked to Top Rank and they asked us, you know, what would we think about fighting Mike? And we said, yeah. I mean, we don't turn down no opponent. It's a dangerous fight, you know, for especially someone like me coming up, you know, 20-0 and against a guy like Mike Alvarado, who, you know, he has power, man. He has power in both hands. And it's a dangerous fight for anybody to take, but, you know, we're willing to take it. We're willing to step up, and we're looking for a title shot soon.
After your last fight, you called out Jose Ramirez. That wasn't a fight that they would offer you?
We called him out. It's a fight, you know, that, I mean, we don't know if they were thinking about it, if they weren't. We just know that right now at this time, you know, Top Rank wanted to do the Mike fight. I guess they want to, you know, see some more out of me, you know. So we're patient. You know, the thing is, I'm a very patient person. I feel like, you know, I have to earn, you know, I have to earn things in this game. So we're ready to go, and whenever Top Rank decides to give us an opportunity at Ramirez, we'll jump on it.
What did you think of Ramirez and Zepeda? Who do you think won that?
You know, honestly, Zepeda, he's a real good friend of mine. You know, he's a really good friend of mine. I've known him for a long, long time. You know, I've actually sparred him a lot of times over here. Honestly, I think Zepeda pulled it out by a round or two. I just think that him, you know, he faded a little bit toward the end. That's what kind of, you know, messed him up, and then in Fresno also, you know. But I think Zepeda pulled it out, and I was real impressed with Zepeda. I mean, I kind of knew that was going to happen because I sparred him a lot of times, and I know how hard he is to hit and how tricky he is. So I mean, it was a good fight, you know. And like I said, you know, I always said it, you know, Ramirez has trouble with boxers, you know, and I think, you know, me and him would be a great fight. I think will be an excellent fight, but we're not looking past Mike Alvarado, so we got to get through this first before we start talking about that.
No, absolutely, absolutely, and I mean,
we scored it the same.
Yeah, we did.
We both said Zepeda.
We both had Zepeda winning, so yeah. we're on a agreement right there. But in terms of Ramirez, you know, didn't he mention last fight that he was thinking about moving up to 147? So hopefully he doesn't, because then Arnold can get a shot and go at it. So hopefully it doesn't, but in terms of that, Mike actually trains in he lives in Colorado, doesn't he? Doesn't he train over there too?
Yes, Mile High.
So did that come into your decision making as well, Arnold, in terms of why you decided to go to Big Bear? Because obviously Mike is probably, you know, essentially the biggest name that you fought in so far, and, you know, he's tested, he's a rugged veteran. Did that come into play because, you know, he trains in kind of high altitude as well?
To be honest, not really. We've been wanting to go to Big Bear for about two camps now, but we just, you know, we haven't really had the chance, or, you know, we haven't really, you know, we just had it happen. But no, you know, I mean, I'm not worried about what he's doing in training, and, you know, I'm the type of fighter that don't worry about that stuff. I mean, the only thing I'm worried about is his tape and what he does and what I got to watch out for and our game plan. But, you know, Big Bear was kind of like, it was going to happen either way with anybody that I fought. You know, we were talking about that for a while. So it was a great experience. You know, it was crazy, you know, running alongside Gennady. You know, he was up there and started camp and learning a few things from everybody up there. It was a really good experience.
Did you get any tips from Triple G? Did he, like, talk to you about anything? You know, like, any advice?
You know, we up there, it's, you know, it's crazy because up there is just work. You know, everyone's just working. You know, everyone's just grinding, training hard. You know, down here, you know, I'm the hardest trainer in my gym. You know, I'm the hardest worker in my gym. But up there, man, everyone's the same. So, I mean, we talked here and there, and you know, he's seen me spar. And, you know, he told me, "Oh, good job," and that I look strong, and I look good, and you know, I should do this a little bit. But not really. You know, it's kind of, you know, everyone does their own training and get in and out.
Arnold, you fought at the StubHub Center, the Staples Center, the Microsoft Theater, so you've pretty much done them all in the local area. You just need the Forum, is that right?
The Exchange LA too. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, when I went pro, I had, you know, a few spots that I dreamed of fighting. You know, one of them was StubHub, the other one was Staples Center, the Staples Center, the StubHub, and the Forum, you know. But the Forum, it hasn't happened. I hope to one day fight there, you know. I would love to fight the Forum. You know, that's the only one that I'm missing on my to-do list.
Now that you mentioned StubHub, I wanted to ask your opinion. What do you think about the name change going from StubHub to the Dignity Sports Park,
I think.
Sports Park or something? I don't know. What do you think about that, like, as a professional fighter? Because, you know, fans don't like it. They are used to the StubHub or even the Home Depot Center if you go further back. What do you think about it?
To be honest, this is the first time I'm hearing about that, to be honest. I didn't even know that they're changing the name, to be honest. You know what? What is the Dignity Center, you said?
Dignity Sports Park, but everyone still calls it the StubHub.
Yeah, everybody still calls it the StubHub, but, like, it was just recently changed. And, you know, obviously to boxing fans, like, we just call it the StubHub, you call it the StubHub. So, you know, just hearing that news right now, what's your reaction?
You know what? To be honest, it doesn't matter what the name's going to be. Everyone's probably still going to call it StubHub. And to be honest, there's something about that atmosphere where it's like every fight's a war there. You know what I mean? It's something that when you walk in there, you feel like, you know, like you're in a war zone, you know? So, I mean, either way, the fights, I think, would be the same. It's just a name change. Everyone's still going to call it StubHub. But, I mean, I don't know why they changed it. I mean, it was fine with the StubHub, but it is what it is.
You named some places that you wanted to fight in California. Do you have any other dreams of, you know, fighting in Vegas, fighting in Madison Square Gardens?
Yeah, actually, Madison Square Garden, I would love to fight there, and also in Vegas, the MGM. You know, I would love to fight there also. You know, those are two of the places that I would like to fight.
If you're able to get through Michael Alvarado, do you think, because obviously you said, you know, you'd like a shot at Ramirez, you know, especially both being under the Top Rank banner, which obviously should be a little bit easier to make. Do you think beating Michael Alvarado will maybe open the door? Obviously, it's going to open the door to bigger names, bigger fights. But do you think the possibility of a Ramirez fight expands a little bit more with the win?
I hope so. That's the plan. You know, I hope that. If not, I mean, we would love to fight Maurice Hooker also. You know, we are ranked number 3 in the WBO. So we would also like that fight, you know. Either one. I mean, I don't care what champion I fight. You know, I don't care if it's Ramirez, Hooker, or, you know, IBF or whoever it is. You know, I don't really care. I just want, you know, if you know, everything comes out good and I look great and, you know, I want a shot. You know, I want a shot hopefully soon. And I know Top Rank's going to take care of that.
The Maurice Hooker fight would be a good fight. You know, he draws a good crowd down in Dallas. And also, you know, if you fight Ramirez, you probably have to fight in Fresno. But so it looks like you probably have to travel to someone's backyard. Would that faze you?
Yeah, that's fine. You know, I mean, it's going to have to be like that. You know, they're the champion. You know, they're the champion. They decide where they fight. You know, backyard is where we're going to have to go, and that's where we're going to have to go. You know, I don't care. At the end of the day, you're in the ring. You know, at the end of the day, you're in the ring. It's a crowd. It is what it is. But at the end of the day, it don't matter where we fight, who we fight, as long as we, you know, get that shot.
Arnold Barboza Jr. joins us here on the last round. He fights Mike Alvarado this Friday, April 12th, at the Staples Center on ESPN on the undercard of Vasily Lomachenko and Anthony Crolla for the WBA and WBO lightweight titles. Arnold, so you train at La Puente Gym, right? How long have you trained there your whole entire career, essentially?
No, actually, we started off in South Almani Boxing Gym. That's where we're from. We're from South Almani. You know, we trained South Almani for about 18 years. We recently just moved to La Puente and been training in La Puente for about 5 years, I believe so now. So, you know, we're happy. You know, it's a great gym. You know, it's a nice, small, great gym. A bunch of tough, rugged kids, you know, and it's a great atmosphere.
The South Almani gym, is that where Jojo Diaz trains at too?
Yeah, we all actually came up together. You know, there's actually, you know, we all grew up together. I mean, I've known Jojo since we're 8 years old. You know, we went to the same high school and we played Jets football. There's a lot of us that actually came out, you know, pro and out of that gym. You know, it was me, Alex Luna. It was Jojo Diaz, Saul Bustos, Victor Pasillas. There's a bunch of guys, a bunch of us that came out, you know, out of that gym. And, you know, it's a great gym. You know, we still go there to spar. You know, we sparred, Luis Feliciano for a lot of this camp. So he's there. And it's a great gym. You know, we still go back. And it's a great, great gym.
Looking at the card for Friday, Arnold, I think your fight will probably be the one that steals the show.
Probably.
Yeah. That's what I'm thinking, man. I mean, you know, much respect to all the other fighters on the card, you know, I mean, but I mean, I think, you know, I know what Zudo's going to do and I know what Loma's going to do. You know, I think me and Mike is going to be the fireworks of the night. You know, I think we're going to steal the show. We train for that. We train for whatever he brings and we're ready to go.
How's sparring been, Arnold, in preparation for this fight?
Oh man, sparring was good. You know, it was good. You know, in Big Bear, we had, we moved around with Pedro Angulo and we moved around with some other pressure fighters, man. And these guys, nonstop resilient pressure, you know, which is what I needed, you know. So this whole camp, we sparred, you know, guys a little heavier than us and pressure fighters. You know, we sparred a bunch of pressure fighters, a bunch, you know. So we're, like I said, we're ready to go. We're ready to go for anything he brings.
How was sparring El Perro Angulo? How was that?
It was good. It was good. You know, hey man, that guy, I'm telling you, man, he doesn't stop. You know, he comes forward. You know, it was great sparring him. Like we said, we sparred Feliciano. We sparred some other up and coming fighters that just don't stop throwing, you know, nonstop. And, you know, and the sparring helped, you know, you know, especially with the conditioning. So we're ready to go.
You know, without giving away too much, are you going to try to, you know, drag someone like Alvarado, who's 38 years old, a pressure fight? You're going to try and drag him into the late rounds?
Yeah, you know, I mean, you know, whatever happens, happens. You know, if I catch him with a punch and if I feel like he's hurt, then I'm going to try to finish him, you know. But Mike Alvarado, you already know what he's been through. You already know what he can do and the punches he can take. You know, he's fought a bunch of strong fighters, you know, and never went down, never, you know. So we're really looking forward to, you know, to just see, you know, our game plan and where it goes. Sometimes the game plan don't go as you think it's going to go, so you got to adjust. So we're ready to go. We have plan A, B, you know, in for whatever. You know, we, like I said, we're in there for whatever he wants to do. We're going to be ready.
Seeing that obviously Lomachenko is your stablemate, your promotional stablemate, do you think that he's a top pound for pound fighter in the world?
Honestly, I think to me, if we're being honest, I think it's a real, real tough call between him and Crawford. You know, I really love Crawford's style. You know, Crawford, to me, man, he amazes me every fight. But so does Lomachenko, man. His style of fighting just doesn't come around often. You know, it's like they're both really good. To me, they're both up there at the tie for the number one spot. And, I'm really glad that they're the same promotion.
Do you see yourself ever, moving up to 147, 154? Like, can you tell just by your body where you think you'll end up?
To be honest, I started my first, I believe it was like my first five fights at 147. When I first started, I was at 147. I actually came down to 140. My last fight, I actually, the day before the weigh-ins, I ran on the treadmill a little bit and I got off the treadmill and I was about 137. So I had to eat, you know, a little bit. And, So I don't know. Who knows? I mean, I could go down maybe, or I can go up to 147. I mean, I don't have a problem with that. I fought there before. So, I don't know. I mean, who knows? But right now, we're comfortable at 140.
So, you know, assuming you get the W on Friday, since you mentioned food, what's your go-to meal following the win?
Usually, you know what? Whatever's open, you know, because I like to stay for the fights. A lot of the times, me and my father, he loves Buffalo Wild Wings. I'm a big Buffalo Wild Wings fan. So, we usually go there. But the next morning, I go to my buddy's restaurant over here in Almani. It's called Taqueria Peribán, and I'm there, man, eating. You know, that's the best carnitas, and the best food in Almani. So I'm there every morning after my fight.
Dang, now you're making me hungry, man. Man.
You know where to go. He just told you where to go.
I know, yeah. He's definitely making me hungry. Where's it at exactly? And this is, because we have, Arnold, we have a lot of, international listeners, a lot of in the UK and stuff. So this is in Southern California. It's called Almani, California. Do you know the exact, streets where it's at?
Yeah, it's down Rush and Chico. So it's in South Almani. It's down Rush and Chico. It's called Taqueria Peribán. It's a little, it's a little small spot. It's my buddy's restaurant. His father opened it. And it's just, it's a great atmosphere, great food. And for everyone out there that's in Almani area, LA area, South Almani, check it out.
Are you looking to be active then this year, Arnold? Cause looking at your fights, you normally fight 3, 4, 5 times a year.
The fights now, I believe it's 3. I'm scheduled, 3 times a year. So we're looking forward for 3 times a year. I mean, if we can do more, if Top Rank's willing to put us more, then we'll fight more. Whenever they say to fight, we fight. We just give them a call and ask them. We talk to them, ask them what's going on, and they give us the date, and that's the day we fight. We never turn down a fight. We never turn down a date. We're always ready.
That's awesome, man. That's what everybody wants to hear. The fans, media, just fighters with attitudes like that, man. Because that's how the best fighters come about. That's how the best careers come about. But Arnold Barboza Jr., we appreciate it. Thank you for calling in preparation in advance of your fight this Friday, April 12th, from the Staples Center on ESPN. On Arnold fights Mike Alvarado on the undercard of Vasily Lomachenko against Anthony Carolla. Which is again, the whole card is pretty solid. There's some pretty big names on there. Gilberto Ramirez is on there. Lomachenko, obviously, and Carolla. So there might be a big UK representation there.
I'll be there.
He'll be there. He'll be there representing the last round. Mike will be there. but Arnold, go ahead and, plug whatever you got coming. We know, you got your fight coming, but plug your social media, anything you got coming up, any companies, business. Go ahead, man. The floor is yours.
Okay. I just want to tell everybody to come out. On Friday, April 12th, the Staples Center. If you can't make it, get the ESPN Plus app. It's going to be a great fight. I promise you guys, it's going to be a lot of fireworks. Follow me on my Instagram at Arnold _ Barboza Jr. On my Twitter at Junior Barboza Arnold. And I'll see you guys April 12th. Appreciate you guys having me. And I hope you guys have a good one.
Thanks, Arnold. We appreciate it. Thanks for calling in. ESPN. It was on the ESPN app. I kept saying ESPN.
I've got it.
I forgot. I'm still trying to get used to these apps. DAZN, ESPN Plus. I mean, I get it. I'm not complaining. I'm in favor. But in the show notes here, we had ESPN, but I was like, I think it's on the app. But I'm glad he mentioned it was on the app. So for the listeners out there who are, on Friday, if they would have tuned in to ESPN, like, oh, where the hell's the fight at? It's gonna be on the app, ESPN app. Which is, isn't it free for the first week if you're a new subscriber, or it's $5?
It's $5 a month.
So for $5.
It's probably free. You probably get a week or so for free. I can't remember. I've had it since it came out.
Right.
Should be a good fight. I think it's going to be the fight of the night.
Yeah. In terms of the names and stuff like that, because obviously, Arnold's a up-and-coming fighter. Now this is like he mentioned, Top Rank, he feels like Top Rank wanted to give him somebody like a veteran, like a Mike Alvarado, to kind of, push him up to that next level. So, mm-hmm. Especially if he can stop the guy. I mean, there's always going to be people, if he stops the guy in ridiculous fashion, there's always going to be fans, critics out there. Oh, Mike Alvarado's old, he faced him when he was old. I mean, it doesn't matter. Alvarado's been in some wars, And you know, I'm hoping it's a barn burner.
I think it's going to be the fight of the night. I think if anything, it'll be he'll drag Alvarado into the late rounds. You know, being the younger, fresher fighter. Barboza's not known to finish people. 20 wins, only 7 by KO. So if
he's
anything,
he's more of a boxer, isn't he?
Yeah, he's definitely more of a boxer. Very slick. More of an amateur style. So if anything, it may be a TKO if he's getting off a lot, you know, and the referee just jumps in and stops him. Or Barboza, I think, by points. But I think he'll definitely go a few rounds.
I think if Arnold stops him, that's going to be a big statement.
I mean, obviously being a local fighter, I mean, I'd love for, you know, to go in there to stop him, you know, get that, you know, be such a good stoppage. It's on TV for the rest of the week on ESPN. You know, that'll jump him up. He'll get some new social media fans and stuff like that. And then, you know, that's the sort of thing he needs to try and get, you know, the Jose Ramirez fight, the Maurice Hooker fight, because it looks like Maurice Hooker's kind of been, you know, put towards Virgil Ortiz.
Yeah.
They're both from Texas.
That'd be a good fight too, though.
But, you know, I'd like to see him to get one of those first fights in the future, definitely. You know, Ramirez being top ranked, like you touched on earlier, would be easier to make.
I mean, that 140 has some solid names right now. I mean, like, you know, I know people say, like, oh, ever since Crawford moved up, every unified, there's like nobody there. No, in terms of like competition, Ramirez is there, Mo Hooker's there, Barboza's there, you know, Zepeda's there. You know, there's some good potential matchups out there that haven't happened that would be good fights.
Yeah, and then like he said, he can move up or down in weight. So, you know, he's got the option of picking the best fights in those two weight categories that he thinks, you know, would be in his favor to win. So
he's like Mikey Garcia.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
I could go wherever I want.
So, you know, he can chase those big fights, those big names, the big money, you know, which is sure, you know, whilst he's still young and can make those two weights.
Yeah. Take advantage of it. Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. But, you know, previewing on that same card, we'll just start with the main event. Vasily Lomachenko, arguably people's top pound-for-pound fighter in the world. Not Arnold, though. He said he picked Crawford, but he did have a tough time, you know, deciding, but he did lean towards Crawford a little bit. Lomachenko, 12-1, goes up against Anthony Carolla from the UK. The WBA and WBO lightweight titles are on the line. Obviously, you know, people have been talking about this fight as it's leading up, as it was announced, saying, you know, Lomachenko's obviously the big favorite. It's not that Carolla can't bring a fight. I like Carolla. His fights with Linares, even though he lost both, were exciting. You know, so I hope that, you know, in terms of paper and on paper and then, you know, skill set, obviously Lomachenko is the favorite. But, you know, who knows? Can Carolla pull it off? I'm asking you, the UK.
No.
You're speaking for the UK right now. Don't let them down, Mike.
No, Bob Arum kind of said the other day that the only reason the fight in Crawler is because Crawler was the mandatory and the WBA pushed them towards that. You know, everybody's looking for the bigger fights for Lomachenko. They wanted to fight Comey. He had the injury from his last fight. You know, the fans wanted him to fight Mikey Garcia. That fight couldn't be made because of obviously Mikey fighting Errol Spence. So the only one who was kind of left at the moment was Anthony Crawler. Get the mandatory out the way. Hopefully fight Richard Comey later in the year. But going back to the fight, I think it's going to be an easy fight for Loma. On paper, Crawler's very one-dimensional, a Joe Gallagher fighter. He's going to come in. He's going to have his hands up, covering his face. He's going to try and work the body to Lomachenko. I think Loma's just going to come out and, you know, just pretty much just pepper him around his body because he has the high stance, keeps his arms up, which is going to leave, you know, his midsection open. And I think he'll probably stop him around 6, 7, or 8 rounds. You know, I think he'll either get...
So you're going against the UK?
Yeah, I mean, unless Crawler comes out with something, you know, a crazy punch out of nowhere, which he manages to connect and knock Lomachenko out. You know, there's levels to this game, as they always say. I think Lomachenko is levels above Crawler. Crawler struggled with Linares. Linares beat him twice. Lomachenko beat Linares.
That's true.
Crawler got it because Eddie Hearn is best friends with Gilberto Mendoza.
Yeah, WBA.
From the WBA. Posting pictures on Instagram with him. You know, that's how Crawler managed to work himself into this fight.
Essentially. It happens. It's called boxing.
Yep.
It's called boxing. But, you know, it's a fight. I mean, you know, hopefully, like we said, hopefully it's a lot more competitive than people think. you know, people's bars are kind of set a little bit low because obviously Lomachenko is so good.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, he could come out, you know, and like I'm hoping, like I mentioned, like I hope there's a pretty significant or at least a solid representation of UK fans there because, you know,
for the atmosphere.
The atmosphere is great with UK fans. Like, we gotta, I don't know if you, well, when you lived in the motherland,
mm-hmm.
did you go in any fights out there? Because I would
not
love.
Not too many. I went to Carl Froch fights, some local fights.
What?
But here's a question for you. I was listening to obviously a lot of podcasts since we have our own podcast. Obviously, listen to others. And a few people were touched.
Wait. You listen to others? What? You serious?
Yeah, just to see, you know, how far behind they are.
How far behind they are.
Yeah, you know, so we're at the top. You know, that's where everyone's reaching to get.
Yeah, we might have last in our name, but we're not last.
But anyway, some people were kind of touching on that Loma had peaked. You know, and he was.
I do think 135 is his peak. I think he's even said that.
But not as a weight category. He's peaked as in, you know, his potential. And now he's kind of slowing down. And he's coming down the other side of the hill. And I was thinking, that one performance against Pedraza, like, he still won, but he didn't look his dominant self. But don't forget that Gervonta Davis, when he fought Pedraza was at a lower weight category.
That's true.
So Pedraza, you know, the weight cut, those pounds, you know, I'm sure, you know, we don't know how much he had to drain himself. So maybe Pedraza fighting Lomachenko at a higher weight was the reason that Pedraza looked a lot better. You know, right. He went in there and he kind of like did different game plan to a lot of other people. He tried to Lomachenko, essentially. But I think people are clutching at straws saying that, you know, Loma's peaked and now he's coming back down. He's not the level that he used to be. And they're touching on he's had 400 amateur fights. You know, he's only had, what, 12 fights as a pro? Sorry, 13 fights as a pro. He's getting old, you know, his style, you know, when he reaches his 30s, he's going to lose a step. His reflexes aren't going to be there. I don't know whether it's because he's that high on a pedestal, people have to try and pull him back down.
That I think that's probably,
you know, it's human nature to,
that's an explanation.
To build people up. And then once they get to the top and they've reached that pinnacle, everyone's like, that's it. Let's drag them back down. And, yeah. You know, they're not as good as they used
like
to be.
Like, we're at the top. People are dragging us back down. Right.
Exactly.
Now.
That's what it is.
So
you agree or no?
Yeah, I could see that. I mean, I don't agree that he's reached like his peak in terms of like talent, but in terms of weight, I think he has because he's even admitted it.
He hasn't got the body to, you know.
He doesn't. No,
he's not naturally bulky.
No,
he couldn't move
not.
Up. You know, I think 135. I think he's definitely. That's I wouldn't want to see him go any higher.
No. I think like, you know, if he cleans out 135, like if he beats like a Mikey and then he unifies Richard Comey and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like. Then maybe he would consider moving to 140, but it's a risk because he's just like, well, I mean, unless he's just that type of guy like Mikey, like he's like, I'll move up to 147, or like when De La Hoya moved up to middleweight to fight Hopkins, you know, like, and then he got knocked out with that body shot, you know, so it's like, well, you know, I've done kind of everything at the lower weight classes, you know, there's some money fights up there.
I don't see Loma being a money guy though. I don't see Loma being one of those guys that he's past it and he's. You know, makes a lot of media attention to get one big payout, like David Haye did against Tony Bellew. You know, he went to the media and, you know, was talking a lot of shit about Tony Bellew to get the two fights, got them as kind of paydays, you know, just to cash out because he knew that his body was done.
Yeah,
I can't see Loma being like that. I think when Loma reaches the top and, you know, loses a fight and he looks back at it with his dad, I think that he'll be like, you know what, I'm gonna go out. That's it. I'm done. I don't see him being like a 30, 40 fighter type of guy. Like he probably gets to like around 20 fights. Clear out 130, 135, and I think he'll be done. He'll be gone.
Maybe. Retire.
Yeah.
Maybe. So I know who you're probably going to choose because you've already kind of implied it, but who are you picking?
Lomachenko. Round 6, 7, or 8. TKO. I don't see the Joe Gallagher really throwing the towel in. Maybe if Carruthers has taken a lot of punishment, but Loma's not a big fight. Normally, he makes the fighters quick because they can't touch him.
Yeah, that's very good explanation. So, I'm going against you. I'm going for the motherland. Krolla.
No way.
Decision. Oh, yeah. In your face. Today, I'm British. I'm from the motherland today.
It's normally me that comes out with these wild,
that's why.
Wild guesses.
Somebody has to satisfy the UK listeners.
This is going to cancel out your Canseo one.
No, it's not. I picked Canseo to beat Machado, and look at what happened. And now
it's living off that for the rest of the year.
And now I'm picking Krolla to beat Lomachenko. Because satisfy the motherland.
You know you're not supposed to drink before the podcast, right, Danny?
Hey, it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. I drink water. Nobody knows what I did. Nobody knows nothing. Nothing. And also on that card, Gilberto Ramirez, 39-0, makes his debut at light heavyweight against Tommy Carpensi. Obviously, this seems like a showcase fight to kind of get him used to the weight. You know, he's expected to win. And then if he looks obviously dominant, especially if he can stop the guy, I think he needs a significant name.
Yeah.
After this.
Gilberto Ramirez is 39.
39-0.
He was he's never fought anybody of note.
He was champion at 168 for like 2-3 years.
He is like Adonis Stevenson. He got he got the belt and just held it hostage.
Literally, Adonis Stevenson held it for like 5-6 years.
That is what Gilberto Ramirez has been doing. He just held it hostage. How he's managed to have the title for so long and just fight random names.
It's called politics.
Yeah, that's true.
It's called politics.
But like you touched on, yeah, it's a light heavyweight fight. You know, Tommy Carpensi is probably most well known for fighting Kovalev.
I think that's true.
He dropped Kovalev.
Oh, he did?
I think he dropped Kovalev in the first or second round, and then Kovalev kind of got up and was like,
forget it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's like, all right.
And just wiped him out.
Yeah, after that, he's like, you pissed me off.
Yeah, it was one of those. So Gilberto Ramirez should win. And then I think, you know, hopefully try and get a big name. They can't keep him wrapped in cotton wool forever. So I think he'll try and get a big name, big payday, probably get his butt spanked, and then we might not see him again.
The butt spanked. So we'll see. Moving on, Saturday, April 13th, from the Minneapolis Armory in Minneapolis, Minnesota, on Fox Sports 1. The main event is Peter Quillin and Caleb Truax, right? I think that's the main event. Because that's what they've been promoting a lot.
I think it is the main event. And then the co-main is Sergey Derevchenko, 12-1 against Jack Kulke, 25-3.
So Peter Quillin, who at one time before his, you know, his significant loss in the first round, I think, to Daniel Jacobs, Peter Quillin was looked at as, like, you know, one of the best middleweights in the world. He was, you know, moving up there, but then him and Jacobs went at it. And I think a lot of people picked Peter Quillin to beat Jacobs. I remember that.
At that time, though, he was...
But at, yeah.
A force.
No, he was. And yeah. A lot of people were picked Quillin to beat Jacobs, and Jacobs beat him. He stopped him. He stopped him in the first round. Like, they just threw fire and...
He's never looked the same, though, since PBC paid him not to fight.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
Yeah, that's
true. They paid him not to fight. And he was like, okay, paid him something like $750,000.
That's insane.
Man. Not to fight.
That's insane. And that must be nice.
Ever since then, since he came back, this is a strange fight because you've got Peter Quillin, who has the skills, that looks like that he doesn't really have the heart anymore since that long layoff. And then you've got Caleb Truax, who hasn't got the natural ability of Peter Quillin, but he's a hard worker. He has heart. He puts a lot in there. He leaves it all in the ring. So it's kind of, you got to look at, to me, if Peter Quillin turns up on the day and he really wants it, he has the skills to pay the bills, as they say. Whereas Caleb Truax, he could be completely outclassed if Peter Quillin turns up. It just depends on really which Peter Quillin enters the ring on the night.
That's true. But I like this fight. I don't know if you've watched the PBC promotions. They've done it, I think, on Fox Sports 1 or something. It's kind of like a, you know, face-off and some stuff like that. You know, it's getting a little heated. So, you know, I think people are going to sleep on this fight, but it's going to be a pretty... I'm hoping it's a good fight.
Who do you think wins it then?
I think Truax is going to take it.
I'm going to go the same. I think Truax is going to get it. I don't think Quinlan has it anymore. I just don't know whether his heart's in it anymore. I just think maybe that he's kind of like, well, what do I do? All I've known is boxing, so he just comes in.
No, you're right. But like, if he does, I mean, if Truax gets it, obviously whoever wins is kind of catapulted a little bit higher in the division. But I think for Quillin, especially because he was a force, a big force at one time, especially before the Jacobs fight and going into the Jacobs fight. I think if Quillin wins and he wins in dominant fashion, I think that kind of throws him in there. And you might see him against like Charlo later on or something like that, you know?
They're just going to feed him to Charlo? Retire him?
Well, you never know. I mean, you know, PBC's kind of, I mean, in terms of reality, who's the bigger star right now? Charlo or Quillin, you know? Yeah. Like, so.
But, he'll be paid well, though. Uncle Al.
Yeah.
Uncle Al will look after him.
That's true.
You got $750 to not to fight.
Yeah.
So what's he going to
do? That must be nice, man. Shit. And then also on that card, Sergey Derevchenko, who is coming back after his first loss against Daniel Jacobs.
Yeah.
So Maybe that's what they're, setting up right here. The winners fight each other.
Derevchenko PBC?
Yeah.
Is he PBC?
Well, it doesn't matter. He's fighting a PBC card.
Yeah, true.
You know, obviously, it's looking that it works for them. So, Derevchenko 12-1 is going up against Jack. What is it? How do you pronounce it? Kolke?
Jack Kolke?
25-3. I was impressed by Derevchenko in the Jacobs fight.
He was around that time, though. He was an avoided fighter. You know, people were saying that Triple G didn't want to fight him because of the money.
Yeah, because he was for the IBF, and then he, you know, they were saying, "No, fight Derevchenko." Like, you know, he was there after the Canelo tested positive last year. With the initial rematch was supposed to happen,
mm-hmm.
And then they were saying, "Hey, Derevchenko's available," and I think even Derevchenko's team said, "Wait, we're ready." Like,
yeah, because it was Lou DiBella.
Yeah,
Lou DiBella was on all social media he could get, talking trash on Triple G, but. You know, risk and reward.
Yeah.
It just wasn't there.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Triple G didn't want to fight anybody that could potentially be a threat because it might ruin the Canelo rematch.
Exactly.
And lose his negotiation power. So, you know, it happens. It happens. But I'm going Derevchenko on that one.
Yeah, this is a showcase fight. I think Jack Kolke is, you know, kind of slow compared to and doesn't really have the skills compared to Derevchenko. I think really this is a showcase for him to come back, get himself a nice little win. I think he'll stop him. And then just hopefully, you know, trying to rebuild his career a little bit. You know, losing to Jacobs isn't anything crazy. He's a good fighter, but you know, he needs to get back on the path. And hopefully, he could be right. Then maybe they may do a Peter Quinlan fight later down the line.
I think so. I think they're testing the waters here. And then moving on, also on Saturday, the 13th of April, the most significant female fight in many, many years. In Atlantic.
Ever.
Well, yeah, a lot of people are saying ever. It could be, but it is very significant, at least in the modern age. From Atlantic City, New Jersey. So Atlantic City is getting their fights back. It's coming back on Showtime USA. Clarissa Shields, 8-0, faces off against Christina Hammer. The IBF, WBA, WBC, and WBO middleweight titles are on the line. This fight was supposed to be made, I think, last year. And I think Christina Hammer had to pull out because of some type of medical issue or injury.
She had an injury.
But now it's made. We're a couple days away. I'm hoping the hype, it lives up to the hype. I really am. There's a part of me that thinks it's not.
And you think Shields is going to blow her out? Or I think Hammer's going to blow her out?
I think Shields is going to, yeah. I think so. You know, I like Hammer too. I like Hammer.
I like Hammer. I didn't know. I'd seen her fights, but I didn't really know her as a person. I've been watching, you know, the Showtime. Is it Behind the Scenes?
All Access. They did an All Access on their fight, which is that's big. That's
so
huge.
They did a couple. I've seen two so far. So I thought, you know, she came across well. Shields, I'm just not the biggest fan of her. I can't stand her mouth. She's just constantly talking. She's been going at it with Steve Kim. You know, just kind of twisting what Steve Kim said, saying he's racist, blocking him. I don't think personally that she's too good for the sport. I think that
whoa.
She's a good fighter.
She's gonna talk crap on us. So thanks a lot, Mike.
That's fine. She can. You know, Christina Hammer. I think she's good, but you know, I know a lot of people get her because you're a fighter. Why are you doing bikini shoots and stuff like that? Hey, they're paying her to do it.
Yeah, she did. She came out. She's like, yeah, if they pay you, you would do it too.
That's what she said. Clarissa Shields did the ESPN one completely naked.
Well, that's true. That's true. Yeah.
So, I mean,
you can't tell me they didn't pay her for that.
Exactly. And, you know, at the end of the day, there should be more, you know, I like the fact sometimes that fighters show their own personality, but at the same time, you've got to think about what you're saying. And I think some of the stuff she says, because she always plays the race card, she always plays the women's card. I'm like, be more like Katie Taylor. At the end of the day, she's a good fighter. She's a clean cut image. I'm not saying that she has to, you know, she could be like Javonte Davidson Broner a little bit.
Well, personality sells, Mike.
It does, but she just says the ridiculous things. And after a while, it just gets annoying listening to her.
Personality sells, Mike.
I hope it's not a blowout. I hope you're wrong. I hope that I think Shields has tried to get into Hammer's head by saying all these things and, you know, being brash and, you know, trying to be so loud to intimidate her. I think it's actually worked the other way around. I think Hammer's just kind of laughing to herself. Actually, her English is quite good, and she actually says some quite witty things back to her.
I've noticed that, yeah.
I actually think they're in Shields' head more. I don't know whether the fight's...
So?
Yeah, I think maybe she's trying to blow herself up, you know, where she's trying to look confident,
Maybe.
She's not too sure, you know. She's been on the big scene. She's been to the Olympics and stuff like that. But I don't know whether this fight's maybe a little bit too soon for her. She got dropped, was it in her last fight by Hannah Gabriels?
Yeah.
Because she was been a little bit too wild. It's hard sometimes to assess a women's fighter because there's such a huge gap in the middle. You've either got your lower end kind of journeyman fighters, journey women fighters, you know, and
journey
then you've
females.
Got nothing in the middle, and then you've got your Christina Hammers, your Shields, your Katie Taylors. So sometimes when you watch them, it's kind of hard to assess, you know, would what she did there work against Clarissa Shields? So I think I'd like for Hammer to win. I think she's better for the sport. I don't like the brash image that Clarissa Shields does. It just rubs me up the wrong way. You know, I like Gervonta Davis and Broner. I like the way that they do it, but it's just something about Shields that I find, it just grates on me. I hope Christina
you're
Hammer
so,
wins.
You're so affected, Mike.
I don't know. There's just something about her. It just annoys me. You know, I'd be more like Heather Hardy. I like her. She's a good fighter. Nowhere near the same class as Clarissa Shields, but yeah, you want an honest opinion? I'm giving you an honest opinion on it. I hope Christina Hammer wins.
But I know. I think the fans appreciate the honesty. But, you know, like I said, I hope they're both undefeated. Christina Hammer obviously has like triple the fights, essentially 24-0. Clarissa Shields is 8-0, but Clarissa Shields has the two gold medals in the Olympics. So she obviously has the pedigree, and she's been doing pretty well. She did get knocked down, I think, was it the last fight?
It was definitely against Hannah Gabriels. I think it was the last fight.
I hope it's competitive. I really do. But I honestly think Shields is going to take her.
Early?
No. We never really see knockouts in female fights.
That's what I was going to touch on if you said early. I was going to say she doesn't... For somebody who says that, you know...
Because this is the 2-minute rounds, right?
Yes, still 2-minute rounds. Hopefully, eventually... Yeah,
they're not 3-minute rounds. People got to remember that.
They should be.
People got to remember that. They're 2-minute rounds, so...
We're split here then? You're going to go Shields?
I'm going to go Shields just based on talent. Because I understand why you're saying the opinion that you have. I get it. In terms of talent, I just think Shields is going to take her. I don't know if it's a stoppage. You know what? No, I think it's a decision. I think it's going to be a unanimous decision. Could be a split. You never know. You know, there might be some rumblings behind the scenes, like, hey, you know, let's get like a split decision. Maybe we can make a rematch. Because I mean, like, honestly, I didn't say that. I'm just saying there might be some agreements behind the scenes. Like, because honestly, who can they fight after this? This is the biggest fight you can make.
That's the problem in women's boxing altogether, though.
Yeah, it's hard. It's difficult because, you know, like, obviously the
people have to move up multiple divisions up and down. So,
right. So, moving on. This week's favorite fighter in mine, yours and mine, Samuel Peter, 37-6.
Yes, that Samuel Peter.
He's back. Comes back after almost 2 years of inactivity against Mario Heredia, 15-6-1. You know, Peter quietly won his first comeback fight by first round KO against Gerardo Escobar, who was 2-22 with one KO. Back in February in Tijuana, Mexico, Baja California, at Cheers Bar. So that was kind of under the radar.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe just to kind of get him back in the groove. You know, what do you think about this? Like, Peter's obviously been in there. He was in there with Klitschko.
Yeah, he's been in some big fights, you know. I don't know whether he's just come back because obviously the heavyweight scene at the minute is doing so well. You know, people obviously need opponents. With DAZN and all that sort of stuff, the money kicking around. I'm hoping that he hasn't come back because he's, you know, he's broke.
Hopefully not.
He needs the money. I hope he doesn't get hurt. It's good to see him back. He's still got some name of note. And essentially, I'd like to see him in the fight. I'm not too sure. He was on the bottom of the undercard, so I don't know whether he's actually going to be on the live Showtime show. Hopefully he is, you know, get his name back out there.
Who knows? Who knows? But he's back. Samuel Peter, back on the Showtime card on the undercard of Clarissa Shields and Christina Hammer, unification middleweight female world championship fight. Also on Saturday, more boxing. DAZN's back again. They never stop. They have the foot on the gas pedal. From the Arena Monterrey, Nuevo León, Mexico. or Mexico?
I'm glad you said that.
Oh, yeah. Well, I am Hispanic. So Jaime Munguia, 32-0, 154-pound world titleist, goes up against Dennis Hogan, 28-1-1. The Munguia's WBO World Super Welterweight title is on the line. In terms of just looking at the records, obviously, it seems like it's okay because Hogan's 28-1-1. But I think, you know, fighting in Mexico, Munguia, young guy, he has a world title. He's fought quite a bit. He's defended it quite a bit ever since he got it. Is this more of a showcase fight?
I think it is going to be a showcase fight for Munguia. It's just going to, you know, get him out there to the Mexican fans, you know, because his last few fights have all been over in the States.
Right.
I think, you know, obviously down the line, they're probably going to try and do Mexico, Munguia, Canelo. So I imagine they're trying to gather some fans.
I think that's like maybe two, three years down the line.
Yeah, I think it's between two. Yeah. You know what I mean? They'll probably, you know, look after him, give him some good fights. You know, he's fighting Dennis Hogan. I think Hogan, when I looked, is like 4 or 5 inches smaller. You know, Munguia's already big for this weight category. So by the time I think, you know, once he's weighed in, he's refed, got into the ring, Munguia's going to look like an absolute giant next to him.
Oh, yeah. Munguia's a big kid.
Yeah, do you know what one thing that I wanted to touch on is I was watching some of his training with Alcazar.
Yeah.
And
Roberto Oscar. Alcazar, yeah.
Yeah, Roberto Alcazar. And De La Hoya was there.
What?
And they had him in the ring. And
oh, he was showing him some moves.
And he was... Jaime Munguia is more of a Triple G fighter than he is of an Oscar De La Hoya fighter.
He is.
He needs better footwork, but the stuff that they were showing him to me was trying... It looked like they were trying to make him more of...
A boxer.
A boxer mover like Oscar De La Hoya.
Maybe.
Then somebody that's going to be more of...
So maybe he needs patience because he does try to go knock you out.
But the thing is, though, he's always going to have that Triple G style. They need to teach him to cut off the ring as well as Triple G does.
Yeah.
You know?
He'd be a monster if he can do that.
And that's... But it looked like they were trying to make him, you know, like fancy footwork, make him more of, you know, like jab, jab, punch, you know, more of a De La Hoya style. And I'm thinking... Dude, he's never going to be that type of fighter.
You never know. He's a young kid. He's like, what, 22?
Yeah, but you mean you've always got
time. He's got time. Yeah, Munguia's got time. He's 22 years old. I mean, I get it. I get what you're saying. And it's not that I don't disagree that he doesn't have the Triple G style.
Mm-hmm.
But if he was like 30, 29, 31, 32, then I'd be like, okay, yeah, they shouldn't change his style if that's been working for him. But I think, like, you know, if he can kind of find both the balance on both sides, maybe being a boxer with the footwork and a brawler. Because, I mean, Triple G's kind of like that. He could... box or he can kind of be in your face. So, like, I mean, I get what you're saying. And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe De La Hoya shouldn't be teaching him that stuff or they shouldn't be showing him that stuff. But who knows?
It looked like that's what they were trying to do. You know, I don't know whether it was just, you know, I read it wrong. They were just trying to teach him, you know, a little bit of Oscar De La Hoya's footwork. But, you know, me looking at someone that size, that powerful, the first thing would come to my mind would be, right, okay, you know, I'm going to try to model him on, you know, Triple G, the way he cuts the ring off, the way that he uses his crazy power that he has. But we'll see. We'll see later down the line. We'll see if anything's different when he faces Hogan.
So who are you picking?
Munguia, definitely. I think Munguia, you know, he'll take him out. I think he's going to be too big, too powerful. He's going to have the reach advantage. I think he'll take him out round 4.
And I'm going by 4th round. Yeah, no, I'll go 5th. 5th round knockout, either TKO or knockout. The immortal Dennis Hulk Hogan. So I'm going Hulk Hogan. I'm going to go bet money on him. So if he wins, I win big. No, I'm just kidding. I'm going Munguia. But if that happens, I'm going to be pissed. I'm going to be pissed.
Oh, yeah, with
you. I hope
Crawler and Hogan double.
I hope Dennis Hogan comes out to Real American, the song that Hulk Hogan comes out in professional wrestling.
In Mexico. he'd be dead for us to the ring.
Hey, you never know. You never know. The immortal Dennis Hulk Hogan. You never know. This is his time to shine. And then wrapping up, Diego De La Hoya returns on this card as well. The first cousin of Golden Boy CEO and chairman Oscar De La Hoya. 21-0. He comes back on this card against Enrique Bernache, 24-12. Obviously, Diego De La Hoya has had some weight issues, some trouble making weight the last couple fights. So I think this is a fight just to kind of get him back in the fold. Which he's expected to win.
Yeah, it's his first fight in 10 months because of having issues making the 122-pound featherweight limit.
Is this at 122 pounds?
No, this one has moved up.
126?
He's moved up from junior featherweight to featherweight. So, yeah, he's gone from 122 to 126.
There it is.
Because he had a couple of fights cancelled due to him not being able to make weight. And, you know, the person he's fighting is 24-12. Obviously, you know, this is just a fight back for Diego, just to, you know, get off the rust.
Get his confidence back.
Get his confidence back, you know, see what he's like at the new weight category. So it should be an easy win for him, really.
So a lot of boxing. A lot of boxing this week. ESPN Plus, Fox Sports 1, Showtime, DAZN USA. They're all competing this week. They're all competing. But hey, you know, a couple years ago, several years ago, we didn't have this much boxing. So people can't be complaining about stuff or competition because this is great. You know, everybody, it makes everybody step up their game. So I'm cool with it. I'm cool with it. But you want to throw anything in there before we wrap it up, Mike?
I just want to say, just make sure that you're not talking too much trash on fighters.
Yep.
If everybody saw Ak and Barak on the DAZN where they got Teofimo Lopez, did you see it?
Oh, yeah. They went to go find the troll, one
find
of the trolls.
The troll.
Oh, you think that was real? It looked real.
It looked real. The guy looked shocked. You know, they went into he was in like a coffee shop or something, and they just kind of read his tweet back to him, and then Teofimo Lopez walked in, and the guy's face just dropped.
That was actually kind of cool, though. That was like a different take on entertainment. I thought that was kind of interesting, so... You never know.
But we're gonna
have to do that.
It might come into my work since I slagged Shields off.
Yeah, Shields is gonna come into your work. Hey, if we get hate for that, I'm gonna say it was all you. That was all you. It was all Mike. Mike from the last round. That was him. That was him. But once again, thank you for tuning in to episode 28 of TLR, the last round. We'll be back next week. Who do we have tentatively next week as a guest?
Next week is BOMAC.
BOMAC. So Terrence Crawford, arguably, like we talked about, Lomachenko, arguably the best pound for pound, one or number two, just depending on how you have it. Best pound for pound fighter in the world. His head trainer, BOMAC, is going to call into the show, talk about his fighter's fight on April 20th against Amir King Khan at Madison Square Garden on pay-per-view. So that should be interesting because BOMAC never... He never holds back.
No, he's always good when he does the commentary on TV and stuff like that. So it should be a good interview.
So I'm excited for that. I'm excited. That's next week on episode 29 of The Last Round. So once again, for Michael Shepard, I'm Danny Z. This is The Last Round.
Thanks for supporting and listening to the show. Follow us at The Last Round 12 on social media. Rate, review, and subscribe. This is The Last Round